Let's turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and we'll begin reading with the first verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, and dearly longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord, we desire your peace this morning. We desire to have that lasting peace, that no matter what our circumstances may be, that peace abides in our hearts, and that peace does not leave our hearts. You promised us your peace when you were here on the earth. And Lord, we pray that we will receive your peace, that we will concentrate our hearts, our minds, our lives on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the source of our peace. Thank you for letting us be here. Thank you for allowing us to have the privilege and the honor of worshiping you this morning through songs, through prayer, through giving, through the entire service. We pray that you will be magnified, and we pray that you will be glorified as well. In Christ's name, amen. When Jesus Christ was here on the earth, he looked at his disciples and said, I'm going to give you my peace. The peace that passes all understanding. We have it available to us. And we often forget that when we live our daily lives. Sometimes we try to concentrate on the peace of God, and we allow circumstances to take that peace from us. Or we allow the devil, who is constantly after us to destroy us, or to in some way make us miserable, he takes that peace. But I'm glad that we have a God that gives peace, that despite the circumstances, you can be in the midst of the most terrible, awful storm in life, and yet you have the peace of God. It's like when Jesus sent his disciples to go to the other side of the sea. He spent the night praying, and as he was praying for his disciples, for the things that he was going to do, And we're told that his disciples were in the middle of the sea and a storm had come up. Jesus came walking on the water to them. At first they thought it was a spirit, because who would not think that it was a spirit of some type coming, maybe the Grim Reaper of our day, maybe the death angel or ever who it was coming to get them. However, Jesus made it plain. He made it clear. He said, "It's me. It's I who love you so much. Just have peace." And of course, Peter, wanting to get in the middle of it, as he often did, sometimes he put his foot in his mouth. This may or may not have been one of those times. At least for a while, it wasn't. The faith of Peter, although his faith was small, he said, "Lord, if that's you, let me walk out there." And as he walked on the water and kept his eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, there was peace. He was able to walk on the water, but as soon as he shifted direction and looked at the turbulence of the sea, the wind that was blowing, he began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." And of course, Jesus came, took his hand, and they both got into the boat. All Jesus had to do to calm that storm was to say, "Peace, be still." We have peace with God if we're the children of God. The Bible says before we are saved, we are at enmity with God. That means we are an enemy of God. Jesus said, "You are children of the devil before you're saved." But once you receive the Savior, you become a child of God. You've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We have peace with God. But often we struggle with the peace of God. The passage this morning tells us how to experience the peace of God. Verse 1 tells us to be steadfast. Be steadfast in the Christian life. Dearly beloved and longed for. That described the love that Paul had for the Philippians. In 1 John 4, it says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." In 2 Timothy chapter 1, it says, "God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." It's important to know that we love one another, that Jesus Christ loves us, and we love the Father. It makes us unified. It makes us one. Jesus prayed for us because he knew what it would be like for us to live for him in this world that we live. Paul, out of love, called the Philippians his joy and crown. That shows that he loved them tremendously. And he got pleasure from having a relationship with them. And that relationship was a present relationship, as well as a relationship that would last forever. Love produces peace because God is a God of peace. Beloved, Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And it was important that Paul stressed the love that he had, because he had to tell them some things that was going to get them into the peace of God. He told them, stand fast in the Lord. That means to persevere, persist, keep going in the Lord, your source of strength. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Are you tired? Are you discouraged, frustrated, or defeated? Keep going. Life will not always treat you fairly. Life will not always be good to you. But you can keep going anyway. In Australia, anybody that rides a roller coaster is not faint-hearted. I used to love roller coasters. Now I don't even know if I can get on one. I remember the Loch Ness Monster. It had on there about if you got a pacemaker and you got all this stuff, then you might better think twice about getting on it. Now that I've got one, I don't know if I'm supposed to get on one or not if I ever go again. But anyway, roller coasters are not for the faint-hearted. A 10-year-old girl was captured on video as she was riding a roller coaster. This 10-year-old girl, while she was riding, was hit by a large bird. I'm surprised if you really think about it, going through the air that fast. Seems like it would happen a little bit more often. But this was a big bird that hit her. She got hit. She got feathers on her, a beak scratch across her right shoulder, but she was a little bruised and a little bit shocked. In fact, she said, I was very scared. I didn't know what it was at first. You know, life is like that sometimes. We get hit by a large bird that we didn't see coming. It just happens to us. God's will is not for that thing that comes out of nowhere to take away your joy. Love God. The more you love, the more you fall in love with God, the more peace of God you can experience. Galatians 6:9 tells us, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. James chapter 1, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set at the right hand of the throne of God. When you are persistent and you stand fast in the Lord, it brings stability. And stability encourages peace. Verses 2 through 3 tell us to be unified. Anytime there is disunity, that's the exact opposite of peace. Paul had to address a situation between two ladies. We can say two ladies, two men, two individuals. These were important ladies in the church. Evidently, they had a disagreement. And Paul named them by name. Usually, Paul would just address the church. But these ladies were so special. They were well known in the church. This disagreement evidently was a public disagreement. He showed his personal concern for them. And he needed to address it because it was public reputation that was at stake. These two ladies were fellow helpers with Paul as he ministered. They helped him spread the gospel. But he knew that as long as they were at odds with one another, peace would be disrupted both in their lives and in the lives of the church. So he told them, be of the same mind in the Lord. He asked the women and the church to have one direction. It literally means thinking the one thing. He wanted the ladies as well as the church to help resolve that conflict so that Christ would be glorified. How does one go about resolving conflicts? First, cry out to God. God is the first place to go. Casting all your care upon Him because He cares for you. Prayer shifts my perspective to God rather than on myself and the offender. Prayer elevates God and humbles me because I must, with humility, resolve the problem. Prayer reveals God's perspective. God's perspective toward me and my offender. God's word challenges me to pray for my enemy. So when we seek God in prayer, we open up God's blessing upon what we are doing. And He helps us to view the other person. And that's step two. Contact my offender privately. There's a way to approach an offender. There's a way not to approach your offender or if they've been hurt by you. And by the way, the Bible says that you need to get things right even if you're the offending party. A bear broke into a California home. That's not unusual. I saw one on a video one time opening the refrigerator door and going into the refrigerator. Don't see how bears can do that. That's amazing. But this particular bear didn't use quite the grace. They don't know how he got in, but they surely know how he got out. In fact, they called him the Kool-Aid Man. Do you remember the old, oh yeah, you remember the guy that was the Kool-Aid Man and he took off and made a hole through the wall? That's what this bear did. So they called him the Kool-Aid Man. There's a way to approach people when you desire to get things right and there's a wrong way. We need not to be the Kool-Aid man. We need to approach people with compassion. When we go with compassion, in fact, compassion was the emotion that was mentioned most often about Jesus Christ. It means to be moved deeply by the state of another person. In order to be moved, we must struggle to understand what the other person is going through. Compassion is needed because if there's a cold heart, reconciliation is very difficult. We must approach with kindness. Our actions often speak louder than our words. And if we go at someone with unkindness, it's very hard. We must go with humility. Humility, knowing that we are the children of God, and that if it was not for God, where would we be? Gentleness. This means that our conflict needs an intentional action. Patience is needed as well. Patience allows us to continue to offer help, even when it doesn't produce the results that we desire. Somebody has once said, "Can you be as patient with so-and-so as God is being patient with you?" Being compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, and patient in the midst of conflict can be extraordinarily tough. But when you go about it in the right way, the two people will end up being closer together, and it more effectively points to the character of Jesus Christ himself. Now, step three, give space for the reconciliation. It takes time to heal. Being gentle and kind and respectful and allowing the other person to process what has just been discussed will help. Step four, call on a neutral party to help if necessary. Here in the scripture, Paul asked for someone to help. Now, the neutral party must not be a busybody, one that's going to spread everything. It's got to be someone that you can trust, someone who is godly. And step number five, you become a peacemaker, asking God for wisdom as to how to handle the situation. Remember, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Now, verse 4 tells us to rejoice in the Lord. Being joyful is a conscious decision. Be glad. Rejoice in your relationship with God. Now, when you rejoice in the Lord, it doesn't always mean that we will never feel depressed or sad. Bad circumstances can produce sadness. If a loved one dies, there is no pleasure in that. If there is a person that is upset with another person. There is no pleasure in that. To rejoice in the Lord is not a matter of feeling, although you may have some. It's more of obedience, deciding that you're going to rejoice in God, not in anything else, because all else is temporal. To rejoice in the Lord always is an attitude of contentment and hope that transcends circumstances. How to rejoice in the Lord? Have a right relationship with God through being saved. Walk in submission to God. View your trials through the pages of Scripture. Serve the Lord with gladness. Live by faith and not by feelings. Now, verse 5 tells us we need to be ready in order to have the peace of God. Be ready. The Lord is at hand. That was a motto of the early church. Maranatha, Lord, come quickly. You remember John the Apostle in the book of Revelation said, Lord, come quickly. Being ready at all times for the Lord's coming. That can give you peace. 1 John tells us, watch the way we live because we do not desire to be ashamed before Him at His coming. Being ready. Jesus said, watch and pray. Watch. That was a favorite word of His that appears many times in Scripture when He was talking about His return. He said, be ready. The Lord is at hand. He's at the door. We don't know when, but we do know. We don't know the hour or the day, but we know that Jesus is coming back. Verse 6 tells us, be prayerful. Be prayerful. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry. Don't be concerned about the future with worry or anxiety. How many ulcers? How many heart attacks? How many problems physically have people had because they are anxious? They're worrying about what the future's going to hold. And we don't know what the future does hold. But as the song this morning, we know who holds tomorrow. God's going to take care of everything. We don't have to panic. God is in control. Jesus said, look at the birds. You ever seen them make nests? How in the world can they make nests? God has put it into their system. They know how. How in the world do squirrels make their nest up in the trees? Sometimes we can look out the window in our backyard and there's leaves falling all over the place. When you go outside, you hear them scurrying. They're tearing things up so that they can make their homes. Be prayerful. It says in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Thank God, there's so much to be thankful for. So much to be thankful for. Even when you're having a bad day, Things can be so much worse. God is good. Let your request be made known unto God. Verse 7, be receptive. Be receptive of the peace of God. It's the peace that passes all understanding. That means we can't understand it. It is so far above our understanding. That peace will keep and guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. That's where it is found. You can try to find peace in books. You can try to find peace in watching some program on TV that tells you how to have peace. The only way that you're going to have true, lasting peace is God Himself. That's what joy in the Lord is. It's what is focused on God Himself. Now, verse 8, another way to experience the peace of God is to be thoughtful. And what I mean by the word thoughtful is, what is your thought life like? Much of the time, our thoughts influence our attitudes, our actions. Think on the right things. Whatsoever things are true, that means sincere. That results in how we speak to others. Be honest. That means our character. Being just in our thoughts is how we treat others. Being pure, that's in our thoughts, our words, our deeds. Whatsoever things are lovely, what generates true love. Things of good report that are commendable, that has virtue in it, of the Christian graces that we talked about earlier, and even adding forgiveness, forbearance, and the list just goes on. Virtue, when you think about things, and it influences the way that you live, things that are praiseworthy. We shouldn't thrive on the praise of others, but we should live in a way that would deserve praise. Our final point in experiencing the peace of God is to be exemplary. Paul said, those things which ye have both learned, received, heard, and seen. That's the disciple that is absorbing good and good examples. And he says, all those things that you have seen in me, do. Paul was an example. We can be examples as well. We reveal who we are by our actions. Police in California got a phone call one morning. It was pretty early in the morning, around 6 a.m. They said that there was a suspicious man in the area. So when they got on the scene, they observed a 26-year-old man attempting to repair two flat tires on the driver's side of his white SUV. Now, that's good. But when they started looking at it a little bit closer, the man was using Band-Aids and gauze to patch the flats. Now, you know the result. He was arrested, course. He was under the influence. But it revealed, that's a strange thing to do. It revealed what was going on inside of him. Let's be careful of our lives as examples, because we reveal who we are by the things that we do. Remember, Jesus said, the things that defile a man, it's not if you have unwashed hands and you put it in. The heart reveals, and the heart reveals our actions, our words, and how we live. Now, being an example will help you to experience God's peace because you're living to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, you are so good, and we don't say that often enough. We do need you because we need your peace. We need a relationship that is close to you, that is pleasing to you. We desire your peace. We pray that you will give us as individuals, as a church, just as the children of God, in the midst of our world, being an example to the world as well, being shining lights. Help us to be full of your peace so that we can be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Of course, you're the light, but we can reflect you. Help us to do so. In Christ's name, amen.